From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you once again, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in, as today, continuing in our series of messages on the life of Christ, we go back to John's Gospel, chapter 3. We've been looking at how Christ revealed himself to Nicodemus. Thus far, we have made the point that the Lord Jesus made great claims for himself and evidenced his claims by his omnipotence. Today, we proceed to show how he evidenced those claims by his omniscience. So stay with us as we look into the Word of God in John chapter 3. But first, our hot topic for the day. Signal Mountain Church in Tennessee separates from the Presbyterian Church USA. Signal Mountain Presbyterian Church, Tennessee, a 2,000-member congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA, has voted overwhelmingly to sever its denominational ties and to join the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. The reasons for the separation are various, but include the Presbyterian Church USA's positions on the Trinity, the person of Christ, the Bible, and moral issues such as homosexuality and abortion. The mainline Presbyterian denomination has been steadily declining into deeper and deeper apostasy. It ranks among the worst examples of a Protestant denomination in America, opening itself up to such things as accepting sexual deviance as practicing Christians, allowing feminist perversions of biblical revelations, such as the Holy Trinity, and permitting low views of biblical inspiration and inerrancy. With all this going on, it's fair to say that while there are still evangelicals in it, the denomination has fallen into the hands of perverters of the gospel. The duty of churches that hold to anything like historic Presbyterianism is clear. They have to separate. There can be no excuse for maintaining ties to an organization that is openly defying God's word and perverting his gospel. When you look at the list of indictments that can be laid at the door of the Presbyterian Church USA, you'll see that this is an organization that cannot be supported without betraying Christ. Other churches are currently considering their relationship with the Presbyterian Church USA. Some are actively exploring alternative affiliations, and it's possible that the action of the Signal Mountain Church will act as a spur to them. Let's hope that enough of them will be moved to separate in a clear and principled manner, stating plainly the evils in the denomination against which they are duty-bound to take a stand for Christ. Nothing will more effectively cripple the deepening apostasy of the Presbyterian Church USA than wholesale separations. It needs to happen. This crisis isn't confined to Presbyterianism. Other denominations have had their battles, and many are still having them. I have reported on the struggles within the Anglican Communion. In that case, it appears that too many professed evangelicals are looking for a compromise that would leave them as part of the denomination if only they can be made answerable at a diocesan level to conservative bishops. That is weak and will ultimately destroy any testimony the evangelicals hope to establish. Separation from apostasy is the biblical way. Nothing short of it will do. All this is a personal aspect. If you are in a congregation that is not separated from an apostate denomination, the duty of separation lies with you. We in the Free Presbyterian Church are separatists, taking a stand for for the crown rights of King Jesus and the crown jewels of his gospel. If you wish to see a biblically separated Presbyterian church started in your area, let us know and let's see if we can help you. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have a very special offer for you in this month of April, and I trust that you'll avail yourself of it. As our gift to you, we'd like to offer you my book on the Lord's Prayer. This has been a book that the Lord has greatly used and has been very instrumental in leading many Christians to a deeper experience of God in the secret place. The book is yours if you wish to have it by writing to us or emailing or calling. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. 1-866-877-LTBS. We look forward to hearing from you and to letting you have The Lord's Prayer, a book you'll thoroughly enjoy.
Far above all is our Savior enthroned. Crowned is the Lamb who for sinners atoned, living forever to list to our call. God hath exalted him far above all, far above all, far above all. Jesus the crucified, far above all. Lo, at his footstool adoring we fall. God hath exalted him far above all. When the fierce tempest uplifting its waves seeks to engulf us, we cry and he saves. Looking to Jesus, upheld by his hand, tread we the billows as safe as on land. Far above all, far above all, Jesus the crucified, far above all. Lo, at his footstool adoring we fall. God hath exalted him far above all. High are the cities that dare our assault. Strong are the barriers that call us to halt. March we on fearless, and down they must fall. Vanquished by faith in him, far above all. His is the kingdom from pole unto pole, far above all, while the ages shall roll. With him the victors who followed his call share in his royalty far above all, far above all, far above all. Jesus the crucified, far above all. Lord, at his footstool adoring we fall. God hath exalted him far above all.
We're turning back this morning to John's Gospel, the end of chapter 2 and into chapter 3. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him,
"Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Finishing at verse 7, the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Let me try very quickly to refresh your memory. The first Passover of Christ's public ministry, when he went to Jerusalem at the feast time, was marked by three outstanding events. First, there was the cleansing of the temple. Then there was his doing of many outstanding miracles. That's clear from the beginning of our Bible reading today. And then there was his interview with Nicodemus. Actually, this interview with Nicodemus is the first of three closely related interviews that are recorded here. You remember that, and we will look at these in due course, that he went on to have a conversation with the woman of Samaria at the well of Sychar. And then at the end of John chapter 4, we read of his interview in Cana of Galilee with a royal courtier from the court of Herod Antipas, a man who was probably himself a Gentile, but certainly at least the interview took place in Galilee of the Gentiles. Three important interviews that in many ways present a microcosm of Christ's purpose in coming into the world and the effect of his coming into the world. We see him first with the leader of the Jews. Then we see him as he dealt with a Samaritan. And then we see him dealing with a Gentile. And when you turn over to the book of Acts, isn't that the very program of missionary activity that the Lord, before his ascension, left with his church? That they'd be witnesses first in Jerusalem and in Judea, then in Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. We see Christ dealing with a religious sinner, Nicodemus. We see Christ dealing with an immoral sinner, the woman at the well. We see Christ dealing with a secular sinner, the political appointee from the court of Herod Antipas. And the message is that he is the Savior of the world, perfectly adapted to be the Savior of sinners of every kind, from every place, from every nationality. Now we're considering his interview with Nicodemus. And as I said last time, our aim is to keep Christ in view and see what the passage and the interview have to say in witness of him. We're not dealing with Nicodemus as such. We're not dealing with the new birth as such. We're dealing with the life of Christ and what this shows us concerning the Lord Jesus. And what it shows us is simply this, that in this interview with Nicodemus, the Lord Jesus claimed to be the very Son of God. He claimed to be the only Savior of sinners. And he gave powerful and authoritative evidences of those claims in three ways: by his omnipotence, by his omniscience, and then by his love. Now, last time around, I simply got as far as making the point that Christ, in this passage, makes great claims for himself. And second, that he gave evidence of those claims by his omnipotence, the miracles or the signs that he did. They were both public and impressive. Now I want us to move on today to something that is very interesting in itself and has far-reaching consequences, both for theology and also for practical daily living. And that is that Christ Jesus gave evidence of his claims to be the Son of God and the Savior of sinners by his omniscience. Now let's go back to the end of chapter 2 and the first words of chapter 3. And I'm going to insert at the beginning of chapter 3 a little word that is in the original text but for some reason or other is left out of our translation, and I think throws a great deal of light upon it. Verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them. The word commit is basically the same word as the word believe. Some people like to paraphrase it, and it would be a paraphrase rather than a translation, for the translation is precise as it stands. Jesus did not believe in them. Now that's the meaning. It's not exactly a translation of the text. They appeared to believe in him, but Jesus did not believe in them. He did not commit himself unto them, because he knew, emphasize the knowing, he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. But, or perhaps now, can be translated either way, but there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Get the idea. There were people he knew, apparently believers. As I said last time when we looked at this, in any church in America, this would have been hailed as a revival. Religious newspapers would have been carrying the news of the tremendous results. Multitudes believing in Jesus, publicly professing their acceptance of Christ as the Messiah. It would have made headlines in our day, in any part of the country. What would not have even made the small print is this fact. It was false faith. It was false profession. It was empty religion. And Jesus didn't believe in it. He didn't believe in it. He would not commit himself to them. He would not reveal himself as the true Messiah. He would not reveal himself as he expounded later to Nicodemus who he was and what his purpose was. He wouldn't commit himself to them. He didn't believe in them and their profession. Why? Because he knew all men. He didn't need anybody to tell him about men. Didn't need evidence from other quarters, for he knew what was in man. But over against all those multitudes, there was a man of the Pharisees. I suppose he has raised more sarcastic remarks in the pulpit, more scathing condemnations from preachers than most New Testament characters. But Jesus committed himself to Nicodemus because he knew what was in man. Now this theme of the divine knowledge of Christ is a very major theme in the Gospel of John. In fact, if you study this Gospel carefully, you'll find that every single chapter carries a witness to the supernatural knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.